Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Randy Seedorf's interest in music started at 11 years old when his mother gave him his first guitar. He's been at it now for over 30 years, having two of his songs reach number one on the Christian radio charts. His latest single on MTS Records is called Family Tree. Randy joins us on this edition of Americana Music Profiles to talk about his new music and his musical journey. Hi, Randy. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate your asking me to be on, Greg.
Absolutely. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us about your music life and your new music and what that's all been about for you. Where are we talking to you from?
Well, I am actually serving at a camp this week down in El Dorado Springs, Missouri. And so I'm playing hooky from one of the sessions and sitting in my car in the air conditioning.
There you go.
Which is kind of a treat, actually.
Is Missouri home? Has that been home for you?
Yes. I was born in Iowa in a little farm town in northeast Iowa. And then we moved to Kansas City, Missouri when I was young. And
okay.
So it's been my home base for many years now.
I think I read in the notes where you got your first guitar at 11. Is that right?
Yeah. My mother was a country music artist, and she had a radio program on a local radio station, KOEL Radio.
Awesome.
She was known as the, her stage name was the Prairie Sweetheart.
Oh, great. That's cool.
So she wore the cowboy skirts and the
Awesome.
The cowboy boots and the hat, and so we've got boxes of fan letters where they would write in and request a song, and it was different time, you know. And one of the things that happened while she was on the radio is the station manager was moving one of the big boom mics, and he stepped on her guitar.
Oh no.
And she was on the air when it happened. She was playing a song on the piano, and they were moving stuff around, and he stepped on it. And so he was real nice. I mean, they sent it back to Gibson and got a new top put on it. But in the meantime, she needed another guitar, so my dad went out and bought her a new one. And so when the other one came back, my mom said, well, hey, you know, I'd shown interest in wanting to play, and so she said, well, you can borrow this one so you save up enough money to buy your own.
Hmm.
So that was my first one.
Wow. And did you self-taught, take lessons? Did she help you learn how to play?
Well, that's kind of an interesting story because my uncle is a country music artist also.
So you kind of didn't have a choice. That's where you were destined, right?
Yeah, I think so. His name was Keith Thompson, and he had a band that they were like what you would call now a backing band, a house band.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would travel the circuit with, you know, Jim Reeves and Johnny Cash and the Oak Ridge Boys and all those kind of guys. And whoever showed up, then they'd have to just play their charts on the fly.
Wow.
And so tough job. He was a keyboard player. Anyway, my mom and my uncle would play, and I would sit on the end of the piano bench, and while they practiced, I would learn how to play along with them. They'd give me pointers. They can play that up here, you know. So
yeah,
it was a nice way to learn.
Yeah,
and then I got a chord book and learned a bunch of chords. And later on in life, I took a few lessons. So.
When did songwriting become part of that for you?
Yeah, that's another interesting story. I was a teenager, and in high school, you know, one of the ways that you try to attract girls is by playing guitar, mm-hmm. you know. And at least teenage boys think that.
Right. Be the rock star, right?
Yeah. So they had this variety show at the high school where I went. And so I played a song for that. And I met a couple of other, got to be acquainted with a couple of other guys from school that also played. So that was the beginning of a friendship that I, in fact, Bill is still a friend of mine now. We started collaborating and co-writing.
Hmm.
And so our first songs weren't very good. But, you know, he's also an artist still, mm-hmm. and a good songwriter. And so we kind of got our start together doing that.
And then moved on from there into playing in bands and that kind of thing? Post high school, I assume?
Yeah, when I got out of high school, I went right to work. It was just, I grew up in a real blue collar family. My dad was a farmer. You know, his brothers were farmers. My grandfather was a farmer. You know, surprised I didn't end up being a farmer.
Hmm.
You know, but you know, they, you know, college really wasn't in the cards for me when I was young. I was encouraged to get a job and go to work, and so I did. But on the side and on the weekends, I played in bands, and I did the club thing. Played a lot of clubs, and I continued to do songwriting and play open mics, and mostly around the Kansas City area,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of regionally.
When did that shift for you?
I started in 1993. I started really getting serious about my music again.
Mm-hmm.
And I started playing a lot more. I started playing in church again. I started leading worship. I went to school and got some music training. Went to a local college, and I took some theory and some songwriting courses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that just motivated me to do more. I reconnected with my high school friend Bill, and we started going out and performing as a duo, and doing open mics and playing some coffee shops and stuff like that. And then in 2010, I started Soul Purpose, and from there it's just kind of snowballed since 2010. We've just played more, and in fact, at this camp right now, I'm down here playing for a whole week for this camp.
Oh, okay, so that's your that's cool. So yep. At some point through all of this, if I read correctly, you became an ordained minister and leading worship professionally,
yeah.
If that's
the
right word. That's a serious thing, part of your life.
Vocational ministry happened for me in 1993. I was in an armed robbery. I was a victim of an armed robbery. Really changed my life in a profound way.
Mm, I'm sure.
I just, you know, faith became a whole lot more important to me than it was before then.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of one of those reality checks when you realize what your priorities are in life and what's most important to you. So I started down that road, and the Lord's just opened a lot of doors for me in that genre of music, and the opportunity to worship. I got to be part of the Promise Keepers Choir.
Oh, awesome.
So I got to sing big stadium concerts.
Sure,
really memorable experiences like that. It started my songwriting down a different path, too. I've not very long after I put the band together in 2010, I recorded a record called Rearview Mirror, and which was a Christian rock album.
Mm-hmm.
And had some really, really good success with that. And so that's kind of how it got going with the Christian music. And it's just felt right. And so I've just continued to do it. And well, as long as the Lord keeps opening doors for me, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah,
so.
For sure. In 2017, you had an EP, Elevate, I think was the name. Some pretty good success with a couple of the singles off of that, right?
Yeah, Christian Radio Charts. We had two number one singles off that album, Fearless and From the Inside Out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they're, you know, it's really nice to get some affirmation about
sure.
your songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, well, my songs are just, you know, they're just my songs, right? And then when people play them on the radio and they listen to them and you start getting feedback and they say, well, that's a great song. It, you know, it really helped me with this thing in my life that I was dealing with. And then you understand, you know, how important music is
mm-hmm.
to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you understand how it moves their heart and, you know, how it's kind of the background music for their life and all the things that they're experiencing.
Right, yeah. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Do you have a particular format, formula, routine that you use when you start the creative songwriting process? Tell us a little bit how that works for you. I know every artist is different. It's always fun to let our listeners peek inside a songwriter's journey and understand how you come about the lyrics and the process of putting all that together.
Yeah, for me, I feel like I'm a lifetime learner. It's something that I've always, it's just always been easy for me. I like to read, so I'm a diverse reader. I
mm-hmm.
read, you know, a wide variety of authors and things like that. But I think one of the things that's probably pretty common for most songwriters is that they're observant people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're always listening in the background to people's conversations, or they're making note of, you know, a phrase or a line, something that they might pick up from a line of poetry or
right, yep.
a chapter in a book, right? And that's where it starts for me. Like, I'm working on a song now called Uncommon Life.
Mm.
And my uncle passed away not too long ago, and the pastor got up to speak, and he said, I want to tell you a story about an uncommon life.
Mm.
And, man, I took my phone, and I put my recording device on, and I whispered Uncommon Life into my phone. And
yeah. That's cool.
So I either have my phone with me, or I have a piece of paper in my pocket, and like when I used to travel a lot, I'd have a legal pad sitting in the front seat. And just when things would come into my head or I would hear something, I'd write down that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where the embryo of the song comes from. And then I like melodies. Lyrics for me are important. I want what I write to tell a story. So I start with a melody, I write a hook, and then I work forward from the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Usually write a chorus first, and then once I've established the hook and the chorus, then I'll go back and work on the verses and make sure that I'm telling the story that I want to tell.
Do you have a weekly, daily routine around that, or is it more organic? When you get an idea, you just flesh it out until you're finished with it.
Well, it's funny that you should ask that, because I feel kind of weird this week because I haven't been able to do any writing because it's such a part of my life. I try to do something musical every day.
Hmm.
and you know, whether that's pick up a guitar or work on some songwriting, my songs end up in different stages. So I have 6 or 7 songs in process right now that are different stages of completion. And I think when you see artists that turn out material pretty regularly, if they're not taking songs from somebody else, if they're writing their own material, they have to be pretty prolific about sure. their writing, right? And they have to be dedicated to that. And I also think it's a muscle that you have to exercise if you want to improve and get better at it. So.
Yeah.
So if you point. If you look at my what I've got going right now, I've got one that's almost done, and 4 or 5 that are in different stages of completion. So,
and you also have a new record that's out, Begin Again. Is that out, coming out? When did that release?
The first single off that released in April, and then in June, then we released the full album on 1st of June.
Okay.
And, it's doing real well. It's doing good on Spotify. And, it's on all of the digital platforms. Seems to be doing really well. We've got a lot of downloads on Dream, and Family Tree has done pretty well, the first single off the album. So,
do you, listening through some of the tracks, it feels country flavored, Americana, maybe with some hints of pop country. Am I hitting that right? Is that what your intention was with this record?
Yeah, I tried. I was a rocker for a long time, and my roots are country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I mean, I already told you, I grew up with 2 country music artists
right.
in my family.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my mother. You know, all that rubs off on me.
Sure, yeah.
And eventually, you know, I feel like it all rises. Who you are really rises to the surface as an artist. And I experimented with CCM. You know, I did the contemporary Christian thing, and I wrote that album, Elevate, for Christian radio.
Okay.
And it was a success in that way because, you know, we got a couple number one songs off of there. So I feel like I was able to accomplish that. But Begin Again, for me, was like starting over with my roots.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And so even the song Family Tree was about, you know, how I got started and all that. The songs that are on the tail end of that album were family favorites from when I was a kid.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the cover, My Maria. I enjoyed your version of that.
My wife's name is Maria.
Okay. There's the connection.
And she sang backing vocals on that song.
Awesome. So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a great singer. She also plays keys in my band.
Okay. When you guys get a chance to get out, share this with your fan base, what does that look like? Are you going to tour? Is it more regional, local? How does that play out for you?
Well, we got a couple things going. We're starting to do live things again, which for the longest time here,
right.
over a year.
Everyone,
all
all
the live venues were shut down, that kind of thing. We're booking festivals for this summer regionally. We're doing Summerfest down in Wichita. We're doing Nehemiah Fest in Smithville, Missouri. Like I said, I'm doing this camp this week. We're doing a ministry to the incarcerated. So we're doing prison concerts. I've got 4 of those booked for this summer already. And those are very rewarding. We're doing a women's prison in Chillicothe, Missouri. We're doing a men's prison in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're doing the federal penitentiary in Jefferson City, Missouri.
Okay. So, wow, that's a good run. Yeah.
Yeah. So that there's some of that. And then hopefully a tour when things get fully open. I'd like to do something kind of regional and south. I'd like to work my way down to Texas and back.
Yeah.
I'd like to do some smaller venues. I love interacting with the audience. I love doing the small coffee house gigs and stuff like that. Just me and my guitar, singer-songwriter thing. It's nice traveling with the band and all that, but sure is a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, coordinating all that,
right.
Making all the phone calls, and getting everybody, situated with a motel room and all that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of work. A lot of behind-the-scenes work in that people don't understand. That sit in the audience and just enjoy the end result. Most of them don't really grasp what you guys got to do to get to the stage.
Yeah, and my guys don't all live, close to each other.
Right.
My drummer lives in Lawrence, Kansas, which is, a couple hours away. Sax player lives up in Easton, Kansas, and so we're just kind of spread out. So even rehearsals are, that takes some planning to do those. So
folks want to listen to the new record, maybe even your earlier stuff and the Elevate, the Christian album. What's the best way to reach out, get in touch with you, and pick up your music?
Well, you can go to my website, which is randysedorf.com. RANDYSEEDORFF.com, and our library is on there. All four albums are on there, and you can download right from our website, or you can go to Spotify, iTunes, Deezer, YouTube. You can get it all there too.
Okay,
so
good. Well, thanks, Randy. I appreciate your stories, and I enjoyed talking to you about how you got to where you are today, and we sure wish you the best with it when you get back out there.
Well, thank you, Greg, and I appreciate you having me on today, and I'll look forward to listening to your podcast and reading your magazine. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.